In the name of the only true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a bit of divine serendipity this morning. As the world celebrates St. Valentine's Day with expressions of love, flowers, candy, red hearts, and romance, our reading sets before us the perfect expression of love. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Love, the summary of all the commandments. When God created people, he wrote the law on their hearts, we learn in the Catechism. Later, he arranged the law in 10 commandments, wrote it on two tables of stone, and made it known through Moses, as we see illustrated in the upper left-hand portion of the woodcut in your bulletin. This woodcut, illustrating the first commandment in Luther's German Catechism of 1530, also shows the Israelites dancing around the golden calf, breaking the first of the commandments that Moses was receiving from the hand of God. This combination of commandments and biblical illustrations brought together was the fruit of nearly a decade of Luther's work, where, as Dr. McKenzie put it in his lecture on Sunday afternoon, Luther becoming a Lutheran. As early as 1521 in his little prayer book, Luther broke from the late medieval prayer books that included catalogs of vices and virtues to be used in preparation for confession. These books shaped the piety of the laity. His little prayer book was an attempt to provide an evangelical alternative by using biblical material. He recommended that the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed become the core Christian text for devotion. In his little prayer book, Luther provides examples of the ways in which people break each commandment by way of a mirror for confession. He has this mirror for confession in view when we read this morning, "Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments." To consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments, let us proceed for a few minutes this morning catechetically and reflectively. Turn with me, if you will, to page 321 in your hymnal. As I read each of the commandments, please respond in turn with the meaning. Then examine your reflection in the confessional mirror as I read the questions from the pastoral care companion for each commandment. The first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? In what or whom do I trust above all else? In what or whom do I trust most for financial security, physical safety, or emotional support? Do I fear God's wrath, avoiding every sin? Is my love for and trust in God evident in my daily living? Do I expect only good from God in every situation? Or do I worry, doubt, complain, or feel unfairly treated when things go wrong? Do I withhold from God what is rightly His? The second commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." What does this mean? Is the Lord's word evident in my daily speech and conduct? Or do I curse, speak carelessly, or misuse God's name? Do I keep all the vows I have made in the Lord's name, such as confirmation, marriage, or legal vows? Am I diligent and sincere in my prayers? Or have I been lazy, bored, or distracted? Do I trust that the Lord God will answer them according to his good and gracious will? The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? Do I despise the word by neglect or by paying little or no attention when it is read or preached? Do I attend the church's worship faithfully, or do I attend sporadically because I prefer to be elsewhere? Do I pray for my pastor and other church workers and support their efforts in service to the word? Do I, as a pastor of God's flock, fulfill my calling through diligent preparation and faithful preaching of God's word? The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What does this mean?
You should fear the Lord God, so that you do not despise or anger your parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve them, and obey them, love and cherish them.
Do I honor my father and my mother and other authorities, such as teachers, employers, supervisors, governmental leaders, and pastors, receiving them as gifts that God has put in authority over me? Have I been angry, stubborn, or disrespectful toward those in authority over me? Do I obey all the laws of the city, state, and country? Do I faithfully represent God the Father in disciplining, caring for, and catechizing my children? Do I exasperate my children, or do I bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Am I threatening, abusive, or overbearing to others in my household or workplace? The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. What does this mean? Have I unjustly taken the life of anyone, born or unborn? Do I treat my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit? Or do I hurt or harm it by gluttony, chemical addiction, or other abuse? Do I hate anyone, or am I angry with anyone? Do I lose my temper or injure my neighbor by thoughts, words, or deeds? Do I hold grudges or harbor resentment? Do I ignore the plight of the helpless, or am I callous toward genuine need? The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean?
You should fear the Lord God, so that he is sexually pure and leads his life, and what we say to you, and husband and wife, love and honor each other.
Am I in a sexual relationship with someone other than my spouse? Do I look at others lustfully and thereby commit adultery with them in my heart? Do I give myself freely and selflessly to my spouse? Do I dishonor marriage by ridicule or divorce? Do I engage in any form of sexual immorality? The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. What does this mean? Do I cheat or otherwise seek to get what I have not earned? Do I take care of what I have, pay what I owe, return what I borrow, and respect other people's property? Do I give generously, or am I selfish, stingy, and greedy with my time and money? Am I unfaithful to the responsibilities of my vocation? The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean?
You should fear the Lord God, so that you might tell lies about your neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him,
gossip, listen to rumors, or take pleasure in talking about the faults and mistakes of anyone? Do I offend others against false accusations? Do I judge others without the authority to do so? Do I speak the truth in love, trying at all times to explain everything in the best possible way? The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean?
You should fear and love God so that we must scheme together on the inheritance of Christ, or live in a way which will not be to your brother, but help me service to him in
need. Am I discontent with what belongs to me? Do I crave something better, different, or more than what God has given me? Do I seek to satisfy the desires and appetites of my flesh at the expense of the well-being of others? Do I resent or envy those who have what I do not? The 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? Am I discontent with a spouse, family, vocation, job, or employees the Lord has given me? Have I done anything to break up a friendship or a marriage? Have I encouraged someone to be unfaithful to spouse, family, vocation, job, or employees? Am I contentious, or have I encouraged disharmony in my congregation, family, or workplace? Am I manipulative and controlling? Have I done all I can to mend or strengthen broken relationships? This is what Luther means when he instructs us this morning to examine our lives according to the Ten Commandments. Luther's desire is for us to experience the evangelical use of confession and absolution. This examination leads the penitent to speak the truth before the Lord. Like a mirror, these questions are designed to reflect the truth about our sin in light of the law. These questions expose not merely our sins, but as Augustana too says, that we are by nature not possessing the true fear of God and true faith in God. These questions lead us to confess, God be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Then the second part of confession comes. The word of absolution is spoken. Absolution strengthens our faith as those who are penitent. It comforts our consciences and gives us courage to confess our sins and sinfulness. Most importantly, it declares that the Lord keeps no record of sin, that there is forgiveness with him, that he removes our transgressions from us and remembers our sin no more. We who have seen our sin now see our Savior. Let me leave you with an architectural image. Winston Churchill, in a speech before Parliament on October 18, 1943, concerning the reconstruction of the House of Commons after being badly bombed during World War II, stated, "We shape our buildings, and afterward, they shape us." I would suggest that the architecture of this campus might serve as a metaphor for our reflection these past 3 weeks on confession. The diamond bricks placed vertically in Cramer Chapel keep before us the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The diamond bricks set horizontally throughout the remainder of campus keep before us a second commandment like unto it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yet there's more. The diamond bricks placed vertically mark the place where the Lord serves us with his good gifts from above, where his holy word is read and proclaimed, where his holy body and blood is placed inside of us, and where his holy absolution is pronounced. The diamond bricks set horizontally mark those places where we live out that service and love to our neighbor in this community. Luther said it this way, "But you may say, oh, it is utterly impossible for a person to keep these two commandments." Yes, it is impossible to keep or perform them. You cannot do it. God must do it in you. For him, it is possible. Indeed, it is. In the name of Jesus.